comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved or to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. To translate that, protector. I like that idea, especially with these days that we're in. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Sometimes we just need to take a minute to remind ourselves of what God is telling us. He's telling us that He's our protector, He's our keeper, He is the one who is still and always of everything that's going on in the world. No matter how crazy things seem to be getting, we need not forget His promises. We need not forget that He is still sustaining us and that He still has our back. The enemy is surrounding us with negativity. He seeks to sap our souls of confidence, peace, and joy. Have you felt that this year already with all the things that have been happening in 2020? We don't have to let Him. Because greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. Right? I'm going to share with you a story in Mark chapter 4 of a group of people who also struggled to have peace because they were in an actual storm. And the ironic thing is that they were with Jesus and they were still afraid. They were still trying to figure out who He was and what He was capable of and what His intentions were. Word toward them. But we see them clearly manifested for us in this short story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Go ahead and follow along with me. This story is about how the wind and the waves obey Jesus. See, a lot of times we have trouble believing that God is going to be able to order the events in our lives in a way that is for our best interest. And we forget that He is even able to calm the physical elements of nature. That we get in Michigan here in the summertime, and they are crazy. Sometimes the rain just comes down, and you think to yourself, is it going to be a tornado today? It just happened a couple weeks ago. This incredible storm is just coming straight towards my house. My dad was coming back from Flint on the highway, doing 70 miles or more per hour, and the storm was catching up to him. Jesus has the ability to calm those storms. So how much more can He calm the storms in our lives? Let's see what happens in this story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, on the same day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, that's the back part of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Today, my message is going to encourage you to know that you can be bold, trusting in God to provide for you no matter what is going on. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 12 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." If that is not the condition of your heart and of your mind today, I encourage you to waste no time in refreshing your memory in what God tells you about who he is. This is the spirit that he has given us, not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See what else he asks himself from Romans chapter 8. Many of us know this chapter. Many of us have often taken comfort in reading Romans chapter 8 because it tells us that nothing can keep us from the love of God. The love of God is so powerful that when all he had to do at creation was speak, and the physical world was made. This is the God that we serve. Let's start from the beginning. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace." Are we spiritually minded today? This gives us life and peace? I hope so. Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We may be suffering now, but guys, there is glory to come. Verse 18 of Romans 8 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession with us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. search of the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions of the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. This has all been building up to this part of the chapter, subtitled God's Everlasting Love, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am what? I am persuaded. If you are persuaded of something, you are firm in what you believe about that thing. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Did you feel the power in that passage? God has given us a message of peace, of comfort, of hope, of courage, of boldness, of perseverance, of faith, and of hope. I'm so glad that that's the God that we serve, because he knows what we've gone through and what we go through and what we will go through, because when he was a human here on earth, he passed through the same exact thing. He may not have had our exact life experience because he was another person, but he knew what it was like to be betrayed. He knew what it was like to lose loved ones to death. He knew what it was like to see loved ones get sick. He knew what it was like to feel like nobody understood him. He knew what it was like to experience doubt and confusion, because on the cross, God the Father abandoned him because of the sin that separated them, and so he knows what it is truly to be like to be cut off from God. So that we can go into anything like that and know that we are not cut off, because God will never cut any of us off the same way that he did Jesus, because Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough to save us from our sins. He's enough to get us through the confusion of this time. He's enough to get us through the loss of a loved one or through unexplained difficult circumstances. He is enough. And if he is not enough to you today, then you don't really know him. And if you don't really know him, there's nothing keeping you from finding out who he truly is. All of us have access to his word. All of us can take the time that we need to find out who he is. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 is a very common passage that shows us more of the heart of God and how he is always thinking of us. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Remember, Paul said that hope, that you hope for things that you have not yet seen. You hope for things that you are eagerly waiting to happen. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I'm not listening to you today. If God's not going to listen to us for whatever reason, you need to get off that train and you need to refresh your mind. That is what the scripture says. I just said to you, Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call to me and go and not want to know the smallest and even greatest details of your life. He cares about the sparrow, and he says to you in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, that you are worth more to him than many sparrows. So remove this doubt from your mind, these evil thoughts about how God doesn't want to listen to you, and how God doesn't care about what's going on in your life. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 29, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. In the beginning of verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Some of us are made captive by our own thoughts. We put chains on our own hands and on our own ankles, and we mute ourselves by the way that we allow ourselves to think. Do you know that most of us have mostly negative thoughts? Think about what that does. If your body is all connected, we have a couple medical professionals here, they will tell you that you can literally manifest physical symptoms based on how you're thinking. That's called, if I'm not mistaken, a psychosomatic reaction. What is the condition of our thoughts? What is the condition of our hearts? What is the condition of our minds? Are we mostly positive? Are we mostly negative? Are we mostly doubtful and confused, or are we looking for clarity in the scriptures? What are we strengthening ourselves with today? If you can strengthen yourself with doubt and make yourself more crippled, or you can strengthen yourself with boldness and hope and clarity, and find yourself able to find peace in the midst of your difficult circumstances. That doesn't mean that they're not difficult. It just means that you have hope that you'll get through it and you can persevere. So what are we doing with our minds? The news is telling us that the world is going, it is falling apart. Are we allowing that to take our peace and just let that consume our thoughts? I'm not saying don't be informed, but what is the substance, the overall substance of our mind, of our mental state, of our heart? Refresh yourself with the scriptures. Refresh yourself with the promises of God, and you'll find that no matter what's going on TV or anywhere else, you can do that. You can just take a breath and trust that God is in control. That He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So is it true or is it not true? Because either it's true or it's not true. If it's true, then it's true, and you can believe it, and you can put both feet on it, and you can stand there and know that that salvation won't crash. It's not like you're standing on the edge of a cliff made out of dirt or even sandstone that's brittle, and you're worried about slipping off. It's made out of solid granite. You can trust it. It will not fail you. This time of doubt, uncertainty, and anxiety is precisely the time for which the Lord has told us to be brave. The world is dying, literally dying, for lack of comfort and direction and faith in a better future. That's why, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those within our sphere of influence, we must be fortifying ourselves with the scriptures to have this peace, to have this life, to have this hope, to have this boldness, because people are afraid right now. They don't think that there's any consolation or any recourse to allow them to sleep soundly at night. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us there come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. Some of us here struggle with believing that our sins can be forgiven, and so we allow that doubt, which is a lie, to cripple us, and it eats away at all the rest of our faith, and then we start worrying about other things like our physical needs or our finances. I tell you what, for a long time, I didn't pay my tithe on a regular basis. I would forget and say, I'm going to do it later. And it would be 4 or 6 months later, I'm like, oh great, how much do I have to pay in tithe? And I'd do my best to estimate it, and I'd pay it, and then the same thing would happen over and over for years. But in the last few months, I decided I was going to start paying my tithe as soon as I got my check. And I don't know how to explain this to you, but I started getting money out of all sorts of random places I did not anticipate it coming from. The Lord is blessing me in all sorts of ways. I had a couple of things, like I had a pair of headphones that were not acting right. And so I called Bose, and they said, hey, my headphones are having connectivity issues. And they said, well, you're a month out of warranty, but we'll replace them for you anyway. And that was the second time that they replaced them. So I've had the same pair of headphones, but brand new, 3 times for the price of one. And even I didn't pay full price for that, I got them on sale. I went on a trip recently, and a close friend of mine said, I feel impressed to give this to you. And she gave me some money for my trip. I didn't anticipate that. And then I got it from somebody else, and all these other things. And it's not just physical or financial blessings that He gives us when we pay our tithe and we place our weight on the promise in Malachi that He says, He will test me in this God doesn't often say to test him, but he says, test me in this, and see if I will not open the store gates, the floodgates of heaven, and pour out such blessing on you that you cannot receive it. I'm getting all sorts of blessings. My health is doing better. I have all these things that, in the midst of other things that I'm experiencing that are difficult, I'm finding God to be faithful and blessing. Some of us don't trust God with our finances, but we say, oh, God is everything to me. No, he's not. Not if you're not trusting him in that. God's everything to you, maybe, but faithful in the money. Where are we in our walk with God, in our trust and in our faith? I wrote something for you that I want to share with you today, and I think it'll be encouraging as I close. This is my appeal to you, that now is not the time to be timid. Now is the time to boldly search the scriptures for the promises of God's providence and care for us. Now is the time to confidently step forward in faith and continue to believe that God will provide for our every need. Now is the time to choose faith over fear, knowing that God has been true to us in the past and has given us no reason to doubt he will continue to be faithful. Now is the time to be resolute, dauntless, persevering, no matter what the enemy attacks us with, because he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now is the time to be intrepid, with our faces set like a flint, choosing to weather the storm no matter how hard and cold the winds blow, and no matter how dark the clouds make the night. Now is the time to choose holiness over compromise, because we know deep down that we're tired of lukewarm commitment to Christ, and are finally ready to see his power fully unleashed upon our world. Now is the time to choose to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit instead of those of the flesh, renouncing the world and upholding Christ in everything we do. Now is the time to let go of the habits and thoughts that hold us back from believing God is capable of greater things than we limit him to, so we can see miracles before our eyes and his promises fulfilled. Now is the time to lift one another up in prayer and on the phone, standing together in unity so that Christ's church can be the light the world is longing to see. Now is the time to put God to the test in our finances and see if he will really bless us if we pay our tithes and offerings, despite things being tight right now. Now is the time to look forward to the second coming with eager expectation, knowing that our salvation is now nearer than when we first believed. Now is the time to simplify our lives and become focused on what matters the most. Now is the time to regulate the way that we feel with the scriptures. Rebuking thoughts and feelings that deceive us into feeling God has higher priorities than drawing us closer to him, because we know our hearts are deceitful. Now is the time to use the time we have left on this earth to glorify Christ in every thought, every word, and every action, and every moment, because we know we have been redeemed. Now is the time to recognize that this is the time, and any excuse to delay action is not founded in wisdom, but in selfish ambition and deceit. And I would add that presumption. Now is the time to remember that we are children of the light, and that our lives have meaning. Now is the time to take on the responsibility of shouldering one another's burdens and find purpose in edifying each other. Now is the time to choose discipline when we lack motivation, because we know we need to grow no matter how badly we feel. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I invite you to take God at his word and embrace the comfort of knowing that we can be bold in the chaos of life because he is with us. He was with the disciples in the boat in the story we read at the beginning. All he did was wake up at who knows what time it was in the middle of the night and just say, peace, be still. Three words. Giving you way more than that. is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless.